Okay, just one hosafa from yesterday about carrying. Okay, it's certainly asr midaraisa to carry out food in your mouth while you're eating. That's certainly asr. Regarding the medicines that we spoke about, so Shlomo Zalman, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, does say that cholish etziva olav harofe. If you have a cholah who the doctor says, unless he takes along with him certain medicine. So this could mean it's in his pocket, that he needs the medicine, and if he doesn't have the medicine, it's gonna be a big problem. So then he says, if it's not really a makom mishus rabim daraisa, and it's letzorich, then he was makel. And he does quote the Gemara from yesterday. What? He makel to carry it. So I'm not sure if that means he's carrying it in his pocket, because he needs the medicine for later, and he's not going to have it, or something that we had yesterday in his mouth. But he does quote our Gemara. He does quote our daf. So I guess we still have to do a little more research about it. I didn't have time. Today's daf is a lot to say on today's daf. So okay, let's get started. The Mishnah says on the bottom of Samach Yemid Beis, Hakoteya, if somebody is missing a leg, so well, there are going to be three different situations here of people that unfortunately don't have legs. So the first case is Hakoteya. Somebody's missing a leg. He's an amputee. He's Yotze Bekavshalo. He's allowed to go out with a stump. They used to make a stump and attach it to the leg. It did not really help him walk. It was just there so that it looked like a shoe, so he shouldn't look so different. That's all it was. But he's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos, according to Reb Meir, because it becomes bottle to him. Verb Yossi Oser. Reb Yossi says, no, it's Oser. And Rashi in the top line says, Delav Tachshehu, because it's not a Tachshet. So they explain what that means is it's not a tachshit and therefore it's nothing. So it becomes a masli, and therefore it's not permitted. Vim yeshul beis kibul, and the Mishnah says an unrelated halacha, if it has a beis kibul kisisin, where they would put rags and cloth and different types of materials to soften the place where the leg and this kav would meet. Then tameh. Then it's also can be makabel tumah. If not, it's called pshutei kliyetz. We said this before. For tumah, the only time that a kli made out of eitz is tameh is if it has a receptacle, if it has a base kibul. If it's flat, if you can't put anything in it, then it doesn't become makabel tumah. Again, you're not putting the leg in here, so that's not a base kibul because you're not putting the leg in there. You're just attaching the leg so that it should not look like he's an amputee. That's all it is. But if it does have a base kibul, then it would be makabel tuma. Smuchos shelo. Now we're talking about somebody who unfortunately does not have both legs. He's missing both legs. So what he would do is he would put smuchos are like leather rags or leather mats that he would put underneath he would put on the floor and he would tie them to himself and he would use those to walk along with his hands and or even just by himself with one leg and one leg, and he would use these smuchos, and so therefore the Mishnah says tumein midras, the tame tumas midras. Tumas midras is tuma that you don't have to necessarily touch as long as you're supported by the item. So here you're supported by these leather mats. The yotzin behen b'shabbos, and you're allowed to carry and you're allowed to go out with them on Shabbos because they're shoes. They're like your shoes. But v'nichnasin behen ba'azara, you're allowed to go into the azara with these because they're not really shoes, right? We know this halacha that you're not allowed to walk, you're not allowed to go into the azara wearing shoes. You have to take your shoes off. But if such a person would go to the azara, he can still go in with this because they're not really they're shoes and they're not shoes. They're shoes in the sense that you can wear them on Shabbos, but they're not shoes in the sense that they're not really shoes. Rashi says the only time you have a shoe is if it covers your entire foot, and even a sandal. This doesn't really do that. But legavi, the issue of carrying on Shabbos, it's not considered carrying, it's considered your shoe. Kisei. Now, somebody here, this is talking about a third case. This is where somebody has an amputation in both his legs, and he can't even use his legs to support himself to walk, because the ends of the legs, wherever the end of the leg is, it got rotted away, it got gangrenous, and he can't even use those to support himself. So he has a kisei, he has some kind of seat, he has a chair. V'smuchos shelo, and then he has these leather mats underneath his stumps of his legs. And somehow Rashi says, benches. It must mean like walkers. And he has walkers, and with the walkers on the chair, he's moving himself along somehow. So smuchos shelo tamei in midras. Again, those leather mats are tamei tumas midras because he's supporting himself on them. But the ein yotzin behen b'shabbos, he can't go out with them on Shabbos. Rashi explains because since the end of the leg is really gangrenous, we're scared that they're going to fall off, and if they fall off, somehow he'll carry them. And the ein nichnasin behen b'azara, you can't go into the azara with these, even though we said before they don't really have the tzura of a shoe. Nevertheless, they're used in a much more shoe-like manner for this person, and therefore he can't go out with them on Shabbos. And therefore he can't go into the azara, and he can't go out with them on Shabbos. Luktamin. So there are three pshatim what luktamin are. Rashi here says, based on one of the pshatim later on, that it's a mask. It's a mask that you wear to scare the children, Rashi says. So such a mask, you can't wear it. It's not luktamin to horin, they're not makabal tuma, because they're not really a beged. And the ain yotzin behen, and you can't go out with them on Shabbos, because they serve no purpose, and therefore they're a masur. That's the Gemara. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, based on this Mishnah, and on the ensuing Gemara, he held that a wheelchair is mutter for a person to go out with a wheelchair on Shabbos, because it's no different than a walker or a cane, which incidentally the Mechaber already passed, is that you're allowed to go out with a cane or crutches if in Rishus Hayach, in your own house, you can't walk without that, and you use it all the time. So if a person's at home and he can't go get around, an elderly gentleman or somebody on crutches, and he can't get around without the crutches or without the cane, and he uses it always in the house, he's allowed to go out with that in the street because it's considered like his legs. If he doesn't need it in the house, but he wants to be, the Mishnah Berurah was talking about, and the Mechaber was talking about people that were fancy and they would wear very elaborate canes in the street as a decoration, but you didn't have that in the house, then that was not permitted. But if you needed it in the house and you couldn't get along without it, you were allowed to wear it, you were allowed to take that out into the street. So based on that, Rav Moshe matired wheelchairs because it's no different than a cane. Rav Moshe said he thought there was a big problem with someone else pushing the wheelchair in a place without an Eruv, because he felt that was no different than carrying somebody, which we say is not permitted midrabanan. So he thought that was a problem. He did say that if you get to a sidewalk where there's a curb and the guy can't manage it himself to get up the curb, then you could help him up the curb because Bachas Medalan Amos, and he had all these reasons why that was okay. Rav Moshe was asked a question whether or not it's mutter to bring a seeing eye dog into a shul. If a person's blind and he can't see, can he have a seeing eye dog in the shul? He mocks it. He says if the dog is trained, it'll be quiet, and it won't be a zilvel for the davening, and otherwise the guy's going to be home his whole life. He'll never go to shul his whole life. He can't go to shul on Shabbos his whole life. He was mocked. The shul where I grew up, there was a blind gentleman, and the dog was there every Shabbos, and you would never even know. It was so quiet, you would never even know the dog was there. He was always the first one in shul, so he shouldn't have to walk in and make a whole grand entrance to the dog, and he was quiet the whole time. So it's assumed that Rav Moshe would matir walking with the dog on Shabbos. That it's no different, really, how the dog gets to shul. So obviously, Rav Moshe understood that it was okay to have the dog walk with you. It's no different than a cane or a wheelchair. Otherwise, the guy can't walk. He has, right? If the street is foreign to the blind man, he can. It's impossible. Rabbi Ribiyat does point out that he thinks there might be a problem with the harness. The harness might be considered extra burdens, extra problems with burdens on an animal. That might be a problem. He's not sure how to get around that problem. But Meikar, the actual seeing eye dog, would be okay. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava or Rav Nachman. Rava says to Rav Nachman, Heichi Tanan. How did we learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that Rav Meir says it's mutter and Rav Yossi says it's usser. So apparently, there was another opinion floating around out there that perhaps these opinions should be reversed. And he was a hechitanan. Like, what was your way of learning up our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that Rav Meir says mutter and Rav Yossi says usser. Is that the accurate way is that the accurate way that we learn the Mishnah, or should we reverse them like the opinion is floating around? And I think the Ran, the Ritva, says we're very interested to know the answer to this question because we have a rule that whenever there's a machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, we always pass in like Rav Yossi. So he really wanted to know who said what to get the halacha down. So Amalei, so he said, Lo Yadana, I don't know. I'm not sure of the correct gersa. Hilchas Amai, so what's the halacha? So Amalei, so he said, Lo Yadana, I'm not sure. So I'm not sure what this question is, because if we just said a minute ago that the halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi, and he said, I don't know who said what, so what's he asking him who the halacha is like? I'm not sure what the answer is. So I saw something similar that even though the halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi, we see from here that the Amorim had the power to paskin connected with what that Gemara said. There's a Gemara that says that. The Gemara says you always hold like Rabbi Yossi, but the obvious is their mayor. But the Amorim themselves had maybe the power sometimes, if they saw fit, to be more machmir. So maybe that was right. That could have been the question. Itmar, Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel said, I had a Masorah that the Mishnah said Ein Hakiteya. That Rabbi Meir was the one who said Ein Hakiteya Yotzei, that Kiteya can't go out with a kav, and Rabbi Yossi was the one who was matir. V'chein Amar Rav Huna Ein Hakiteya. Again, unlike our Mishnah, that our Mishnah said Rabbi Meir said okay, and now Rav Huna and Shmuel come along and say no. They learned that Rabbi Meir is the one who said Ein Hakiteya, he can't. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said Ha'ol V'Amar Shmuel Ein Hakiteya. Since Shmuel said Ein Hakiteya, that Rav Meir's machver, the Rav Meir says also Shmuel and Rav Yosef says mutter. V'Amar Rav Huna Ein Hakiteya, and Rav Huna also said that the Mishnah is read not like our Mishnah reads, that Rav Meir was the one who was asered and Rav Yosef was the one who was mutter. Therefore, Anonami Nisne will also learn that way Ein Hakiteya, and we'll learn Ein Hakiteya that Rav Meir holds an amputee cannot go out with such a kav, and Rav Yosef says it's okay. So Maskeflor of Ada Bar Shira Lo Shemielahu Had Masnila Rav Chanan Bar Rava Lechia Bar Rav Kamei De Rav. Aren't you aware of what happened Bekatina De Bei Rav in the small room off the main shul by Rav when Rav Chia Bar Rav was there, that they told Rav Ein Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shalo Ein Hakiteya, you cannot go out with a kav Divrei Rav Meir Rav Yosi Matir and Rav Yosi Matir, like you're all trying to say we should change it. And umach vile Rav Epoch. And Rav demonstrated, Rav said, no, reverse the Shitos, meaning conform to our Mishnah. And the Gemara there says in Yuma that Rav was in the middle of saying Shema, so he didn't want to interrupt, he couldn't interrupt and talk. So he demonstrated, no, you have to switch around the Shitos, like our Mishnah is correct. So Shmuel and Rav Huna must be wrong. Not only that, Amr of Nachman by Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, V'simana samach samach. The simon to know what the correct girsa is samach samach. What's samach samach? So Rashi says, because the word aser has a samach, and the word Rabbi Yossi has a samach. So the word aser and Rabbi Yossi both have a samach, so you could know that Rabbi Yossi is the one who was asered. Anyone have a question on that simon, samach samach? No, no one has a question? Everyone's okay with that? No, that doesn't bother anybody? What about saying mem for mutter and mayor? Right? Why are you saying the usher way? Say the sim is mem, mutter and remayor. And what? No, so the sasamish has a different answer. And not only that makes even more sense, because that's in the beginning of the word. Mutter starts off with a mem, and remayor starts off with a mem. Hey, if usher and rabiosi in the middle of the word. So the sasamish says, it's very poshut, because our mission doesn't say that remayor said the word mutter. It just says, Hakuteh Yotze Bekav Shalo Divrei Rav Meir, that you're allowed to. So the Mishnah never says the word mutter. So it would have been a misleading simon. So therefore it says Samach Samach. Then the Gemara says, V'af Shmuel Hadar Bei. And even Shmuel retracted from what he had said. Ditnan, right? So he said that Rav Meir is the one who said that it's not okay, and Rav Yossi is the one who said it's okay, unlike our Mishnah. And the Rav came along, we have a story from Rav, where Rav said, no, our Mishnah is right. And now the Gemara says that Shmuel even retracted. Shmuel even came around. Where do you see that? That Nan, because you have a Mishnah in Yevamos, that it says, Chalitza besandal she'ena shalo. When a woman is performing chalitza, she has to remove the right shoe. Right? She doesn't want to marry her brother, her husband who passed away, the brother, didn't have any children. So they're not going to do Yibum, she's going to perform chalitza. So she has to remove his right shoe. So, Chalitza sandal she'ena shalo. So what if this guy put on a sandal that doesn't belong to him? He borrowed someone's, and that's the sandal that she removed. Or the sandal shall eitz. This is the key. Or the sandal was made out of eitz. It's not a leather sandal. Or Oshal Shmol Biyamin, he put on a left footed sandal on his right foot. So all these are unusual. So Chalitza Kishera, it's a good Chalitza anyway. V'yamrinan Mantana Amash Mantana, who is the author of that Mishnah there in Yevamos? Amar Shmuel Remeirhi, it's Remeir. Ditnan, because Remeir says over here in Shabbos, Hakiteya, someone who has an amputation, Yotze Bekav Shalo, is allowed to go out with his wooden kav. So you see from over here that even though we said before that the kav is not really a shoe, it's really just a decoration to hide the fact that he's an amputee, nevertheless, he still gives chashivas to a wooden shoe. So too over there in Yevamos, he's the one who said that a wooden shoe is considered a shoe for Chalitza. He's very consistent. And you see that that's Shmuel who said that. So you see what? That Shmuel came around and agreed with our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Oser, and Rabbi Yossi over there in Yevamos, Rabbi Yossi over here Oser such a wooden shoe. The Afra of Huna Hadarbe, and Huna also came around. The Tanya, sandal shel tzayadin, shoes that were worn by people that were plastering and painting up the houses, so they didn't want their shoes to get full of lime, because Rashi says the lime would burn through their leather shoes, so they would wear these shoes over their regular shoes. So then the Gemara says, Tomei Midras, such a shoe is Tomei Midras. We said before, Midras means anything that you use to support yourself. So such a shoe you use to support yourself because they're wearing it. So it can become Tomei Midras. And the Isha Choletzes Bo, a woman can do Chalitza with such a shoe. And the Yotzin Bo B'Shabbos. And you can go out on Shabbos. And as Rashi says, this shoe is made out of wood. Divi Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. V'lo ho du lo. And they didn't agree with him. They didn't agree with him. They said, no, it's not true. I v'atanya ho du lo. We have a different price that says they did agree with him. So Amar Rav Huna, man ho du lo. Who agreed with Rabbi Akiva? Rav Meir. Rav Meir agreed with Rabbi Akiva. Because Rav Meir is the one who says, in our Mishnah here, that wood's okay. So too, he's the one who said in the story with the painters, that the shoe is good. The shoe will make you turn midras, and a woman can use the shoe for chalitza, because it's all consistent. Uman lo hodolo, who didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva over there? Rabbi Yossi. So you see that even Rav Huna came around and said that our Mishnah, the way we read it, is the correct Gersa. Now the Gemara says, man lo hodolo. I have another person who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. Who's that? It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Ditnan, because you have a mission in Kalim, that it says as follows. Kiveres shalkash, you have a mat made out of straw, or a tube made out of reeds, meaning both of these are not really very strong, right? Straw, you can't really make something out of straw, right? And reeds, they're very, very flimsy materials. So therefore, kivera shalkash v'shivela shalkanim, Rabbi Akiva matame. Rabbi Akiva is consistent with his own shita. He holds that straw is, let's say it has to be hard straw. So if it's hard straw and hard reeds, Rashi says it's like eights, it's just like wood, and he held that wood and Caleb are valid Caleb. Therefore, this mat and this tube made out of straw, hard straw and reeds, is going to be metame. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri metayer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, these don't even have the status of Caleb because they're so flimsy. Therefore, they're metayer. They're not going to become tame because they're not Caleb. Fine. So Amar Mar, anyway, that ends the discussion. And our Mishnah, the way we have it, is the correct Girsa, that Remeir is the one who said Mutter, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who said Aser. Amar Mar, we just said, sandal shel tzayadin tomei midras. That a sandal made out of, that the sandal that somebody would wear, that a painter would wear over his shoes to protect his shoes from getting full of lime and paint, it becomes tomei tumas medras. But halav lihilucha vidi. But why should it become tumas medras? You don't wear those shoes for walking. You only wear them for protection, which means you don't really use them to support yourself. And we said Tomei Midras is only by a normal kli that you use to support yourself. We had the whole Gemara with a barrel, right? If you sit on a barrel, that's not going to become Tomei Midras because that's not a normal thing to use to support yourself. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Ula, Shekein Asayin Metayel Bo Ad Shemegei LeBeitzo. No, the reason why it's going to become Tomei Tomei Midras is because the painter, the plasterer, will keep them on his feet till he walks home. He doesn't remove them the second the job is over. He keeps them on till he goes home. So since he keeps them on until he goes home, he's walking with them, barabim, he's walking with them for a half hour, he does support himself on them, even if it's only for a while, and therefore it has the din of a kli to metame to a mas metras. Fine. So the Gemara had said, v'im yeshul beitz kibul kisisin tame, that if this kav, this wooden stump that a person would wear just to hide the fact that he has an amputation, has a base kibble to put in rags and sheets and stuff to soften the wearing, then it will become tame tumas medras. Amar Abaya, tame tumas. I'm sorry, the Mishnah just said that it becomes tame. So Amar Abaya, matame tumas mace. It can become tame tumas mace. And Rashi says it doesn't mean tame tumas mace per se. It means all tuma except for tumas medras. Tumas Sheretz, and Rashi says the reason why it says Tumas Meis is because we're going to contrast it to Tumas Midras, which are both Ava Tumas. So that's why it says Tumas Meis. It's Lav Dafka Tumas Meis. Anyway, the Ein Matame Medras, but it does not become Tame Tumas Medras. Why? Because you don't support yourself with this Kav. It's just there to conceal the fact that you're a amputee. You don't walk with that. You don't support yourself on that Kav. You support yourself with crutches. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, Av Tomei Midras. It even makes you Tomei Tumas Medras. Why? Because he holds, but sometimes he do. Sometimes the person does support himself with such a shoe, with such a kav. Sometimes he does. And therefore, even if it's sometimes, that's enough to be Tomei Medras. Omar Rava, Mena Aminala, how do I know that? Ditnan, because we have a mission that says, Agala Shel Cotton, if you have kids have a wagon that they play with, Tomei Medras. It can become Tomei Tumas Medras. Why? Because they're playing with it and they're leaning on it sometimes. It's a normal thing for them to do, to sit in the wagon when they wheel each other around. So you see that it has Tumas Medras because they use it even sometimes. It's not a shoe, it's not a chair, but they're playing with it, so it can become into the category of Tumas Medras. What? So Rashi says that you don't. Rashi says that the base kibble is only for Tumas Medras. Only Tumas Mace is a base kibble. Why? Because you learn out the fact that you need a base kibble from the pasuk over there by Tumas Mace, which says sack. And a sack, by definition, is a base kibble. Otherwise, it's just a piece of cloth. So just like a sack has to have a base kibble, so do all, and the same pasuk says the word eitz, kli eitz. So the Gemara learns out, somewhere else, that a kli eitz has to have a base kibble. And Rashi, that's only by Tumas Mace. By Tumas Medras, it can be makabel tuma, and we're going to bring a ride to that for a cane. Because we're going to say in a minute that a cane can be tamei Tumas Medras. Cane doesn't have a base kibble, a wooden cane. The answer is it doesn't have to because it's not tumas. It's not. We're not talking about tumas meis. We're talking about tumas midras. And if a guy uses a cane 24/7 to walk, he supports himself on it. We're going to see in a minute. Well, that's what Abaye came along and said. Abaye came along and said, "No, I disagree. I'm only talking about tumas meis. Tumas midras doesn't apply." Right. Abaye Amar, no, Hasam Samach Ilavaihu. There, the reason why the wagon has become Tumas Meis is Tumas Midras is because they support themselves on it. And what he means to say is more so than just once in a while. That's what it's used for. They always use that wagon. Hacha, but over here, Lama Samach Ilavaihu, the guy walking with his kav doesn't use it to support himself. Amar Abaye Amenah Midala, where did I learn my shita from? The Tanya, Makal Shel Zakenim, if you have a stick that old people use to help themselves walk, and they always use it to walk, Tahar Sorry, and they don't always use it. They use it once in a while. Tahar Mikulam. It's Tahar. Because they don't use it all the time. They only use it sometimes. And only using it sometimes does not make it Tamei Tumas. Does not make it Tamei Tumas Medras. So Rashi says, Rashi asks that question. What do you have to say? This is the reason. Say because it doesn't have a base kibble. So Rashi answers because the Tumas Midras, you don't need a base kibble. Rava says, Hasam litrutze sugya avida. Here, the reason why a walking stick is not going to become Tumei Tumas Medras, even though the guy's walking with the stick, is because he's only using the stick to straighten out his limbs. He's only using the stick to make sure he doesn't fall and to make sure he walks correctly. Rashi says, "Lasaken tsiosov," just to straighten out his walk. So that's not enough of a leaning of a support to make it be makabel tuma. But hacha, but over here, lismachalayahuda avida. The whole purpose of this thing is to give him support. True, it's also there to make him look good, but it's also to give him support if he needs it. Therefore, v'samachilayu, and you lean on it, and therefore it becomes tamei tumas midras. That's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Fine. So then the Mishnah said, "Tamei and Midras, the Yotzin behem b'shavas, the Nichnasin behem lazara." That you can't go into the azara because it's considered a shoe. Tani Tana Kamei Rabbi Yochanan Nichnasin behem lazara. Rabbi Yochanan, if someone taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan, you can. So Amalei Ani Shone Aisha Choletetz Bo. I said a woman can do chalitza with such a thing, which means it's certainly a shoe. V'at Amarta Nichnasin, and you said you can go into the azara with it. It certainly can't. So Tani, therefore, you have to learn a Nichnasin behem lazara. You can't go into there with a shoe. You can't go into the Azara because it is the status of a shul. Lukdamin tahora. We said a lukdamin is tahora, and you can't go out with it on Shabbos. What's lukdamin? My lukdamin. Amar Biavo chamra da akva. It's a donkey. It's the shape of a donkey. It's like a toy donkey. Rashi explains the clowns would use this to pretend to make it appear as if they were walking, as if they were sitting on a donkey. It was like a head of a donkey that was attached to their shoulders. So when you looked at him, you thought he was sitting on a donkey. It was just a game. So such a thing is not makabel tumah. It's not a kli, and you can't go out there on Shabbos because it serves no purpose. Rava bar Papa Amar kishiri. Kishiri are stilts which they would use to walk over mud. Okay. So Rashi asks, and doesn't answer the question, if it's stilts to use to walk over mud, then shouldn't it become Tamei Tumas Medras? Because you're using it to walk, you're supporting yourself? So Tosas answers, maybe not, because you're only using it to just to avoid mud. And that could be similar to the case we had before of a guy who's wearing it just to protect his shoes. So maybe then, even though he's using it to support himself, it's only temporary, it's not really for the derech of walking. And then Tosfos says, maybe it's talking about stilts that a clown wears. And stilts that a clown wears, only wearing it to make fun, to make a joke, to have games, that wouldn't be a Tumas Midras at all. And Rav Bar Rav Huna says, Parmi, it's a mask to scare children, Rashi says. And that such a mask doesn't serve any purpose, and it's not, you can't go out with that on Shabbos, and it doesn't become Tumas, because it's not a kli. Fine. So the Mishnah says, Habonim Yotzen B'Ksharim. Children can go out with kshar, with knots. We're going to see in the Gemara what that means. Ubnei malachim bezugin. And bnei malachim can go out with zugin. Can go out with bells on their clothes. V'chol adam. And really, everybody can go out with bells on their clothes. Elisha, dibre chachamim behove. But the chachamim say what is normal. Who normally wears bells on their clothes? Princes. The average guy doesn't. So the Mishnah was saying it in the normal vernacular. Rav Shirugon wrote a letter, a long letter, it's like a sefer, where he's explaining the Mesorah of Mishnayos and Gemara and the whole tradition of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah and all that. And he said that all the Mishnayos were old, and Rebbe didn't write them. Rebbe just edited them. And he says this Mishnah is an example of that principle. Because the Mishnah says, Habanim Yotzeis Piksharim, Ubnei Malachim also, right, Bezugin. And then the Shirugon says, and now Rebbe's adding in a line to explain what we just said. V'chal Adam! That's added on by Rebbe. The actual memra was an old tradition that went back till Har Sinai. But Rebbe was adding in this line not to make people confused. El shadibu chacham behove. Fine. So my ksharim, what are knots? Amar Adamari. Adamari said, who's Adamari? So Rashi says, top line, Rashi in the Gemara, Adamari, kach shemo. That was his name, Adamari. This Adamari, there's a famous, and people that are, this is one of my pet projects is names. So there's no Debbie Huda that says that there is nobody in Shas, no Tana or no Amora in Shas with two first names. Did not exist in the time of the Gemara. Even though Tuval Kayan and Bereshis had two names, and there were other people throughout Tanakh that had two names, no Tana or no Amora had two names. He says Abba Shol, Abba Yossi, Abba Binyamin. The word Abba there is not a name, it's a title. It's like Mar or Rav. It's a title. There's no one that had two names. So some point out, what do you mean? What about Adamari right here? They're very rare. It's like four or five people in Shas that have two names. Adamari right here. Rashi says, Kach Shemo. That was his name. He had two first names. So just an interesting aside on this topic. Amar of Nachman, anyway, he said, Amar of Nachman bar Baruch, Amar of Ashi bar Avin, Amar of Rav, Yehuda. Kishure Pua. It's knots of the Pua plant. And the knots of the Pua plant were considered, Rashi says, I'm not sure what they were good for, what they helped you with. However, they were some kind of healing. Amar Abai, and that's what they were not on, and since it has a refua, it's like a kameya mumcha, because it always works, and therefore a boy child, Rashi's right, the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, banim, boy children can wear such a necklace made out of all these knots of this plant on Shabbos because it has refuah and it's known to work. Amar Abaya said, Amrli Aim, my mother told me, it's not really his mother, it was his nurse, he didn't have a mother, his mother died in childbirth, so it was the person who raised him. Tilsa Mikume, three knots will contain this any illness. Chamisha Masoi, five knots will heal the illness. And Shiva, and seven knots, Afil Lakshafim Ali, will even help for witchcraft. Amr of Acha bar Yaakov, v'hu delo chazi le'shimsha. But this plant will only work if the plant never saw the sun. V'yitzihara, it never saw the moon. V'lo chazi mitra, it never saw rain. V'lo shmile kol barzel of a kol tarnagulta, it never saw the voice of barzel. It never heard the banging of barzel, of iron. It never heard the call of a rooster, the call of nigri, or the footsteps of people. It never saw any of that. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So nafal pusa bebira. So that you can throw the pusa, you can throw this plant into the well. Meaning it's impossible to have all these conditions. It's impossible. The Aruch says that the only way it is possible is if you have such a thing growing in, down in a pit somewhere. Where it never saw light, it never saw... Otherwise it's impossible. My area. So then, fine. Putting aside that question, the Gemara asks, "My area banim. Why singling out banim? Afilu banos nami. Even girls. And my area katanim. Why only children can wear such a thing? Afilu gedola nami. Ella. So no, that's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. Ella my ksharim. What's ksharim? Kiha da amar oven barhuna umr of chama barguria ben if a son sheyesh gaguin al aviv, that he has longings for his father." Rashi says because he's going away. The Rabbeinu Chananel says because he died. You have longings. Rabbeinu has longings for his father. No tel ritsua mimin al shel yamin. He takes the strap of his right shoe, the koshelo bismolo, and he ties it onto the child's left arm. And somehow that is going to calm the child down and get and help him get over his longing. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak v'simanach. And how do you know tefillin? Because the tefillin is tied on the left arm, so too this ritsua is tied on the left arm. V'chilufa, and if you do it the reverse way, sakanta to sakana. It's beyond me. This is beyond most people. Amar oven barhuna, amar chama bar guria. Sichufe kasa atibure b'shabata shaper dami. You're allowed to take a cup of hot water, spill the hot water out, so then all you have left is a cup that used to have hot water in it, but it still is hot. And you put it over a guy's stomach, and you create a suction from the cup onto the stomach, and that will heal any intestinal problems. What? Right. And that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. It's not a problem of shchikas samimonim. The Mechaber Paschas are allowed to do this. It's not a problem of shchikas samimonim because you are there's no samimonim here. There's never samimonim. The whole procedure, again, we had this earlier with Kimaeus. Nothing goes in the body. There's no potion, there's no drink, there's no eating. It's just a totally external. That's not a problem of shchikas samimonim. V'yomer Avin bar Huna, Amar Avchama bar Guria, mutar lasuch shemen umelach b'Shabbos. You're allowed to shmear on somebody's, you're allowed to shmear on Shabbos oil and salt on Shabbos. The reason you're doing that is to sober somebody up. Somebody who's drunk, you're allowed to shmear the oil and salt on his, we're going to have on his palms and on his bottom of his feet to sober him up. Again, it's not considered refuah, because he's not sick. Ki had Rav Huna mi bei Rav, the hilta from Rav, Rav mi Rebbe, Rav Chia mi bei Rebbe, ki havi mi yaabsimi, if somebody's drunk, Maisi mashcha, he brings oil, umilcha and salt, v'shayfa lehu l'gyusa didei, v'gyusa dikare. And you smear it on his palms, on the bottom of his feet, and that sobers him up. So I saw the Minchas Yitzchak has a shayla over here, can you take an awakening pill on Shabbos to keep you up? You see over here, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, you're allowed to sober someone up. So can you take a pill that you shouldn't, like these Vivarin, what are those called? Those pep pills. Can you take a pep pill on Shabbos? There's a whole long tshuva about it. It's based on this Gemara, because you see, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos to keep somebody awake. It's not considered medicine. It's not considered refuah. Because it's not inside the body. Again, we had before, it's not inside the body. But it's not a chola if you're drunk. V'omar ki hechi detzayil ha-mishcha, and you should say, just like the oil thinning out, v'tzayil chamra de plonia bar planisa. So too, the oil, the wine should thin out in ploni bar planisa. V'ilon, if you can't do that, if you don't have the materials, Maisi Shia Dadana, bring the seal of a barrel. Visharile the Maya, soak it in water, v'amar and say, Kihechi de Latzail Hai Shia, just like this clay seal is starting to thin out now in the water, Latzail Khamra deplina by Polonisa. So too the wine in this guy should thin out and he should sober up. V'amar Ovin Bar Huna Amar of Khan Bar Gurya, Mutu Lachanik Bashabis. You're allowed to perform what's called chanika, choking on Shabbos, where it's a situation where if a guy's a guy's neck bone is somehow protruding and it's causing a sakana, you turn him upside down and somehow you snap the neck bone back into place and you heal the guy. Again, it's called chanika because it looks like you're choking the guy. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos because, again, it's not refuah, it's not internal refuah, it's just an external thing. You can swaddle a baby in tight cloth on Shabbos. We're talking about a newborn baby who sometimes the limbs are not really straight. So they would swaddle the baby very tightly to straighten out the limbs. Again, you could do that on Shabbos because it's not shechika salmonim. There's no salmonim here. There's no liquid. There's no internal anything. It's just all external. Rav Papa Masni Bonim. Rav Papa learned that both of those memories about the son having longing for the father and over here swaddling the cloth, swaddling the baby, were learned by the same person. Rav Zvid Masni Ben. Rav Zvid only learned one because he learned that the other one was learned from someone else. Rav Papa Masni Bonim B'Tavayo Masni Luhu Da'Avin Bar Huna, because he learned both memories from Avin Bar Huna. Rav Zvid Masni Ben Kamaisa, that he learned the first memory about the son having longings, Masni ba'ofen Rav Huna v'hai, and this one here about the baby, Masni lo b'rabba bar Chana, the Amar Rabba bar Chana, lefufe yinuka b'shabta shafer dami. You're allowed to swaddle the baby in cloths to straighten out the limbs. Amar Abaya said, Amar li aim, my mother told me, again it was his nurse, kol minyani, anytime any of these incantations that we're going to have today and a lot more tomorrow, all these incantations, whatever number you had to say to make them work, however many times you have to repeat yourself, that's the number. Bishma, kol minyane bishma. I'm sorry. Kol minyane. Any incantation that we're going to say, and the reason why they're called the minyana, a number, is because sometimes you have to say them more than once. Anyway, whatever you have to say, bishma de'ime. You always said it in the name of the guy's mother. So and so Ben, the name of the mother. Why? We do that today by cholim. We always say, right? So and so Ben, the name of the mother. Why the name of the mother? Oh, that's what the Zohar says. The Zohar says because you always know who the mother is. And when you're davening for a choleh, you want it to be certain that you're davening for the right person. The Gemara in Chulin said that fathers are only fathers on because of the issue of rov, principle of rov. Most fathers are also the husband. It's a principle of rov. It's not a vadai. But if the mother's a vadai, people were in the delivery room, there was a vadai. So therefore you say the name of the mother. So Ben Yehoyada says, but isn't that mezalzel the father? When you're davening for the choleh, you're mezalzel the father by purposely not mentioning him. So Ben Yehoyada gives another answer. He says, because a woman has less issues, less averos than a man. He says two reasons. First of all, they're not mechuyevus in any mitzvah saseh shasman grama. So therefore they have less averos because they have less mitzvot. And also, he says, even more importantly, they're not under the rubric of Talmud Torah. They don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Therefore, they don't have an avera of bittul Torah. And the Gemara says that if you're such a tzaddik, you can't find anything why bad things are happening to you, hanging on bittul Torah. Everyone suffers from that avera. So, but a woman doesn't, because she's not mechuyavis, so she doesn't have that problem. So that there's more reason for Hashem to be interested in listening if you arouse the name of the mother, because she has less averos. That's what the Ben Yehoyada says. Anyway, b'chol ketzirim b'smola, all tyings, Rashi says, like we had before about tying on the ritzua to the boy, is b'smola, it's on the left. See, if a chassidim over here is a whole thing about shadim. This is the count of shadim with nine knots, because the shadim is from the letter tes. Didn't understand it. Bar Marbaya, Amrli Aim. Kol minyane, here it is. Kol minyane de mefarshe, ke de mefarshe. Whatever number of times you have to say something, that's the number of times. Whenever we have a Kabbalah, how many times you have to say something, that's how many times you have to say it. Udlo mefarshe, but if there's no explicit number, arboin v'chadet, zimni. It's 41 times. Tana Rabbanan, Yotzin the Eben Tekuma b'Shabbos. You can go out with an Eben Tekuma on Shabbos. An Eben Tekuma is a stone that was used to ward off any potential of a miscarriage for a woman. And she would wear this stone to protect the baby, to protect herself from getting sick, having an easy delivery, and not having any miscarriages. And the reason she's allowed to wear it is because this is just like a kameya. It's just like a kameya mumcha, which we know works. This we know works, and therefore it's okay. She's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Mishumber Meir Omer, so what's this Eben Tekuma? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says in Parashat Tetzaveh that an Eben Tekuma is the same stone that was on the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol for the Shevet of Reuven, which in the Torah is called an Odem. And the reason why this is an Eben Tekuma and it helps for having an easy delivery, not having a miscarriage, is because Reuven was the Shevet who had the Dudaim. He's the one who got the dudaim, those flowers that were mesugal to have children, which is why the stone Odem is the same letters as Adam, because it helped you have man. And that's why the mothers, Rachel and Leah, were so interested in having these dudaim. So all Reuven is all mesugal for children. And that's why, that's what this stone is. This stone is the same stone that was on the Choshen of Reuven, and it's mesugal for having children and for not having miscarriages. And that's the stone that they used to wear. Remeir Amru, af b'mishkal Evan Tekuma. You can use it, even a stone that was weighed against an Evan Tekuma when you weighed to measure exactly how much something weighed. Even such a stone also has the powers of an Evan Tekuma. Veloshi Pila. You can, not only when you already miscarried, Elishemet people, but you want to prevent yourself from miscarrying. Ramosha Feinstein says, here you see, that preventative medicine on Shabbos is mutter, because you're even doing it to prevent yourself. Veloshi Ibra, not if already someone already miscarried, if someone's already pregnant, Elishemet Tetaber, maybe she'll become pregnant. She doesn't even know if she's pregnant yet, for people, and then she'll miscarry. All these cases, you're allowed to wear this Evan Tekuma. Amr of Yemer Bar Shlema Mishrei Dabayev Hudi Kavin V'Iskal. But you can only do that if the stone that you measured against the Evan Tekuma weighs exactly as much as the Evan Tekuma. If you have to add a little bit off this stone or take away a little bit off this stone, you can't. Boya Baya Abaya asked Mishkal Demishkal Mai. What if you're going to use a stone that was measured against the stone that was measured against Evan Tekuma? Is that also good? So take it. We don't know the answer to that question. If somebody has a fever every day, bas yomo, fever every day, what should he do? Lishkal zuza chivra, take a white coin. Rashi says it means a new coin. Vizlazel lemilchisa, and go to the salt deposits. Vilishkal maskale milcha, and let him weigh himself against the salt. Vilitzaira bechalala debet soar, bedbet savar, and let him tie the salt around the opening of his neck, shirt. Vigira barka, with a thread of hair, and that'll heal him. V'ilo, and if he can't do that, if he doesn't have the materials or he can't do that, Lesiv aparashas derachim, let him go to the crossroads, v'chichazi shumshana gamla, and when he sees a large ant, the dari midi, that's carrying something, lishkale, he should take this ant, l'shaydye b'guvsa d'nachasha, and he should put it into a copper kli, v'listime, and seal the kli, v'avra, with lead, v'lichsime, then seal it again, v'shitin gushpanki, with 60 seals. The Rashi says, lav dafka 60, it just means every type of seal you can come up with. Lead, ash, wax, all these different seals. V'labar zule, and he should, what does bar zule mean? He should pick it up? Yeah, he should shake it. V'lid, he should shake it up. V'lidre, and he should pick it up. V'le male, and he should say to the ant, t'unach alai, your burdens should be on me. V'tu'unai Allah, and my burdens should be on you. And therefore, and then he'll be healed because his burden will be on the ants. Amalei Rav Acha Rei de Rav Huna Rav Ashi V'dilma Inash Ishkachi. Maybe a guy found this ant already, the Ifsak Bay, and he already put all his problems on the ant. And now, when you say back, the ant's problem should be on me. He's gonna get sick more. So Ella, what should he say? Ella, rather, he should say Teunai v'Teunach Allah. My burdens, my tzaras, and your tzaras should be on you. And therefore, his sickness will be healed. V'ilo lishkal, and if you can't do that, lishkal kuza chadato, you should take a brand new earthenware vessel. V'lezel nara, you should go down to the water. V'levele, and he should say to the water, nara nara, river river. Uzpan kuza demaya, lend me a jug of water. L'orche de akli ali, to heal me from my daily problem. V'lahadar shav zimni al reishe, and he should twirl, and he should wave it 7 times around his head, v'lishdayin la'akure, and then he should throw it back into the water, v'lemele, and tell the river, nahara, nahara, river, river, shakul maya, go back to the water, d'yahavitzli, take back the water that you gave me, d'urche, d'itliali, b'yume, asu, b'yume, azal, because the burden that I have, this daily burden, is going on with me, it came with me today, and it's going back with me today, meaning it should all be on you. All the Mepharshim say that these don't work today. We don't know what they are. These are beyond us. We're going to have a lot more of this tomorrow. And that's the end of it. I just remembered one thing I wanted to say about the Mishnah had said about going out with Zugin on Shabbos. You're going out with Zugin. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Ataz. We quote the Machlokas of Ataz and Amagen Avram. If you're allowed to, so you're not allowed to have Zugin on Shabbos. You're not allowed to have bells. So you're not allowed to make noise on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make Hashmiyas Kol. You're not allowed to even use a knocker, right? All these problems because Hashmiyas Kol. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham, whether on a paroches or on a Sefer Torah or in the crown of a Sefer Torah, can you have bells? When you open it, you're going to make noise. When you take it out, you're going to make noise. Don't worry, Avrumi. I don't think that the crown over here even has a clapper inside, which is certainly not a problem. Anyway, there's a big machlokas about it. You don't intend to make noise. You don't want to make noise. You're only doing it that people should. You're just doing it for beauty. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Yesh B'machmer is that there are those that are machmer. The Taz is machmer. The Ein Iker K'moshim Nizbor. It's not the Iker like I explained. The Chena Midik Pashut B'chol HaOlam. That it's not a problem.